بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. So one that reads these ayat, you'll already pick up something. And that is that these questions, this is a question. It's been repeated. It came twice. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. And add to these two questions a third question that came in the surah earlier before. Right, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. What deluded you, what deceived you concerning your Lord? So basically there's three questions in this surah. And we read the previous surah, Surah At-Takwir. We only realized that there was one question, which was, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala posed the question, after all these warnings, after all this, where are you headed? Where are you going? But in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He poses three questions. Why does He do so? Because this surah, it gets tougher and tougher in its warning. And after these warnings, you still haven't changed your attitude. So, after all these reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors upon you, الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَّا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. Allah mentioned His favors. And then He warned you at the beginning of this surah, watch out, إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ فَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. This day is coming. And He said, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ, where are you headed? The only one place you're headed towards is the day of judgment. So there's a severe warning in this surah. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of these warnings and of His favors, you still are in denial and you're still in disbelief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this question. Now let's speak about the repetition and what kind of rhetorical benefits does it carry. You know, they say, التكرار في السؤال يزيد في الاستهوال. Right? You repeat the question, it intensifies the horror of the one that's warning. So the one that's asking the question is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the question is repeated, it already intensifies the horror. It suggests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry. And these ayat are being scrimped in such a way. And you can appreciate this when we compare it to human experience. You know, when someone repeats a question, and this is common between all of us, you've experienced this, when you repeat a question in a threatening manner, it shakes you from the inside. You tell someone, didn't I tell you don't do this? Didn't I tell you don't do this? The second time round, it comes out more intense and in a more anger and rageous manner. Now, this is the benefit of repeating a question. And as we said, the second time it's even harder. And there's more anger and rage. You know, you say to someone, come here, come here. The second time round, it's really serious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. It's being repeated in a loud way. You better take this seriously. This is what these ayat are suggesting. Something's got to be taken seriously. It brings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say this twice. So the repetition is a manifestation of anger and horror. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is He saying? What is the question? He's saying, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. What will give you any clue what the day of recompense is? And when He repeats it, it gives this meaning of, then do you really have any clue as opposed to in regards to what this day really is all about? So the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks this is really terrifying. Now let's see this ayah. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. What will give you any clue what this day of deen is all about? And the word adrak comes from the word dal ra ya daryun. And daryun literally means to find something or to figure something out by investigating. That's adrak. You figure out something after investigating. So what's actually being said, what are you going to look around for? What clue are you going to look around for to even give you a small meaning about how horrifying this day is? What are you going to look for? You're not going to find nothing. To just even give you a meaning of how horrifying this day is. The day of Ad-Din. You know, the day of recompense. When every single person gets what they deserve. When you get the portion of justice, right? We said this is what Ad-Din meant, is when everyone gets exact portion of justice. And it's the day when every single person knows مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. You know, what you sent forward of good and bad actions and words, and what you left behind after your death of good and bad traces. So you better get serious and get the act together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He says, ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. ثُمَّ means again. And it emphasizes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ثُمَّ. In the previous surah, we read, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. And this ayah is describing that day of Ad-Din. The day of recompense. When the scrolls, the books, the records, your book, the one on the left and the right, when they're exposed and open, when they're released, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. And this in itself, when the records are released and opened, is enough of a reminder to get you to wake up and get serious. This is enough of a reminder. الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ is enough to make you realize the importance of this day and the seriousness of this day. That's how these two surahs are connected. Now, Sam al-Ra'i, a scholar in tafsir, he mentions four benefits that repetition in the Qur'an carries. So he says the first is that it instills horror. It instills horror. The second is that it magnifies the warning. It makes the warning very intense. Really magnifies it. Really, it's got some weight to it. The third, he said, to elevate someone's sense of loss and deprivation. You know, you told someone says to himself, oh, you should have sold it. You should have sold it, man. You know, there's this sense of loss when you repeat things. And then the last is to give weight to something and make something heavy and give the meaning of something happening that's serious. And these are the functions of repetition basically in Arabic. When something is repeated, it's either one of these four things. So we saw in these ayat, it is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. Now to conclude this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. This ayah is giving us a clue of what يوم الدين is. You know, you realize in the Quran that this daryun, adraka, and there's one more which is yudrika. It comes in two forms only, adrak and yudrik. Every time adrak comes in the Quran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a clue. Something small. And every time the word yudrik comes, no clue is given. Nothing is given. The information of this is held up until the day of judgment. So you find in this case, Allah says, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. And there will be a clue of what يوم الدين is. We'll come in a second to translating and giving the meaning of this. You find this as well true when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْقَارِعَةُ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. This yawma yakunu an-nasu kal farash al-mabthuth, when people are like scattered moth, that's a clue of what al-qari'ah is. You know, wama adraka ma laylatul qadr. What's a clue of this? Laylatul qadri khayrun min alf shahr. Wama adraka ma hiya? A clue of this is narun hamiya. And so on, followed in the Quran, every adrak, what comes after it is a clue of what it is, of what that thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about. Now when the word yudrik comes in the Quran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give a clue. So you find in the case where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hereafter and the hour, He says, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. And in another ayah, تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. So he speaks about the ayah, he speaks about the day of judgment, and he says, yudrik. But we don't know when the day of judgment is. And then he says, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى in Surah Abasa. What will give you any clue to what kind of intention Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum carried? In other words, you got no idea. He used yudrik, and we learned from that you got no idea what this person's intention was. That's how it comes in the usage of the Qur'an. So adrak, that means there's a clue. So let's share this clue. يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا is just something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know about يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. And something really beautiful is that in the previous surah, Surah At-Takwir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded it with the powerlessness of the human beings when they're making intentions as opposed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plans. Allah said, He concluded that surah, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What plans, what intentions are you going to make as opposed to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned, the Lord of the worlds? So the ending of the previous surah was about the powerlessness of the human in making an intention. You can't even control your intention. This is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. It's only by Allah's permission that your intention goes forth. But here in Surah Al-Infitar, look what Allah says. He concludes it by saying, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. The day, this يَوْمَ الدِّينِ, it is the day on which no person will have any authority, any control, any ownership in any way, shape or form in regards to any other human being. Powerless. No control. Even if you read يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ and stopped, it'll make beautiful sense. On the day where no one owns nothing. So this end of this surah, this يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا is actually a summary of what we've been reading since we began Surah An-Naba up until now. You know, we read يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَآبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. You yourself, you'll be running away from your own family members. Your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your children, your wife, all of them, you'll be running away from them. Now, let's just say, for argument's sake, that you fix yourself up on the Day of Judgment and you have enough hasanat. And now, you want to care and you want to worry for your family members. Let's just say this. You have a lot of hasanat. Now you want to go back and go back to your mother, go back to your wife, go back to your children, and you know, sort of help them out. But even then, Allah says, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. Even if you are right with your hasanat and you want to help your relative, you have no authority to care for him. لَا تَمْلِكُ. You don't own this authority. That now, all right, I'm good. You know, let me now attend to my relatives, see who needs help. Even if that's the case, but that's not the case, but everyone for himself is running and is storing his hasanat and holding on to them. Your father will say, give me something. No, I need it. You know, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no one owns nothing. And you don't even have the authority to even care about someone else. You know? This is the Shafa'at al-Kubra. It comes for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end when Allah gives him permission. You know, you really want to understand this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world, he says to his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, Ya Fatima bint Muhammadin, ittaqillah fa'inni la amliku laki min Allahi shay'a. O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fear Allah. I have no authority with Allah over your case on the Day of Judgment. This is pretty serious. That's his daughter. And he doesn't, he's saying, fear Allah, man, on the Day of Judgment, I've got nothing to do with you. But everyone is for himself. And you know, Rasulullah ﷺ, his love for his daughter was immense, you know. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ, he loves this ummah. But it's not compared to the love he had for his daughter. And even then, he's saying to her, oh, fear Allah. I have no authority over your case on the Day of Judgment. I can't care for you on that day. Up until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the permission for the intercession. Then and only you can see something. But before this, when the chaos is happening, no one owns nothing. Nothing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this surah in such a powerful way. And he says, وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. Such a powerful conclusion to the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and the decision, especially on that day, belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah could have said, وَالْأَمْرُ لِلَّهِ. And the decision is, or belongs to Allah, without adding this يَوْمَئِذٍ. So what is the benefit of having this word yawma idhin in between this phrase? When Allah says wal amru yawma idhin lillah, it translates as, and the order, the decision belongs to Allah, especially on that day. You know what that teaches us? We have a decision now, but on that day it's only for Allah. But now, right now, you have a decision. You know, you have a decision now. You can change for the better, right? You can do some extra good deeds. So when the suhuf, when the scrolls are exposed and they're open, you see some hasanat. You know, you decide whether you want to start praying properly or not. Now your decision. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. And this is for now. But there's nothing. You don't even own a decision there. لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا. What you own is a decision right now. It is up to you how you're going to use this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إما شاكرا وإما كفورا. It's your decision. You want to be grateful? Show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, gratitude is not only limited to words, saying Alhamdulillah. Gratitude can also be manifested in your limbs. The action, the sadaqah you give, the walking to the masjid, and so on. These are all forms of gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Kafura here means, or you can be ungrateful. You choose, you decide, you have a decision now. So this is the importance, this is what the word يَوْمَ إِذٍ highlights. It highlights that on that day, the decision belongs only to Allah. He decides who intercedes for who. But now, you have a decision. Now let's sort of connect the beginning of this surah and the ending of this surah, just how we usually do. And before we move on to Surah Al-Mutaffifin, which is a really, really interesting surah, inshallah ta'ala, we'll just share the beginning passage of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. But let's go ahead and inshallah ta'ala connect the beginning and the ending of Surah Al-Infitar as usual. At the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. Allah began this surah by describing
big things, big events that are going to happen on that day. And then he concludes this surah when all the chaos is done, when all the chaos is over, humans will be left powerless. No power, no authority whatsoever. So basically this surah began with a mention about what happens on the Day of Judgment, and it ended also with a mention of your state on the Day of Judgment and how powerless you are. So this is the connection between the beginning and the ending of this surah. Now, inshallah ta'ala, we'll move on to Surah Al-Mutaffifin. And as I said, this surah, the beginning, inshallah, I'll just limit the tafsir just to the first passage. So we can, inshallah, make as much as benefit as we can from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. It is really great. You need to focus, pay attention, because this is something we go through every single day. It is talking about transaction. And then it's not only limited to transaction, it extends also to relationships you have. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll begin. This surah, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, it begins with an intense, with a profound declaration against a specific criminal, against a specific type of criminals. But before we begin with this surah, we need to understand the word Al-Mutaffifin. And by understanding this word, then hopefully inshallah ta'ala we're able to understand the connection between the end of Surah Al-Infitar and the beginning of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Right, that's also important to understand the connection. But we cannot understand this unless we understand the word Al-Mutaffifin and what does it actually mean. So Al-Mutaffifin comes from the word Taffafa. And it's a certain kind of person that's meant by Mutaffifin. When you say Mutaffif, you add the meme at the beginning, you're speaking about an individual. You're speaking about someone. And this is a person who, when they're in business, when they're getting something, when they're buying a product, right, when they're the customers, they want to get a little more than they deserve. Want to get more than what they deserve. And when they give, when they're now the seller, the merchant, when they're selling the product, they give a little less than they should. Right? They shortchange people. They rip off people. This is a mutaffif. And this can be done in tangible and in intangible things. So intangible things, for example, just to give you a very brief example, you might owe someone 1 kilo of rice, but you only put 995 grams. You ripped him off there. That's a mutaffif. This is also understood in intangible things. You might owe someone 4 hours of work, but you only work 3 hours and 58 minutes. 2 minutes, don't worry about it. It goes unnoticed. You know, no one will notice. A big deal. It's only 2 minutes. It's only 5 grams. This is a mutaffif. Little tiny imbalances. Things that go unnoticed. The customer, he won't even come back and complain because it's too embarrassing. You know, or he'll feel bad about asking. What's he going to come back for 5 grams? But you ripped him off. And that was his right. And he went unnoticed, and he realized, but it's not going to come back. We're talking about mini, like really little things. This is a mutaffif. It's someone that, he doesn't steal huge amounts of money, or he robs a bank. That's not the mutaffif. It are just simple, unnoticeable, insignificant amounts of what he owes the other person. Now, this connects with a lot of things we studied in the previous surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the previous surah, "Kalla bal tukathibuna bid-deen." You lie against the deen. You people lie against the deen. And we said the deen comes from the word deen, which is a loan, which means exact portion. Because when you take money from someone, you borrow money, you're expected to give it back. So Yawm al-Din was called this because now you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you everything. Now you're going to have to pay back Yawm al-Qiyamah. What have you done? So it's the day in where everyone gets what they deserve. So the idea in when Allah says, كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ, the idea of deserving the exact portion and giving the exact portion on the Day of Judgment. We are given the exact portion when we are given the exact portion that we are due. So the Mutaffif, how is it connected? The Mutaffif, he can't get away with anything. He gives the customer what he owns him, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Maybe now it's gone unnoticed, but on that day, he'll give him back what he ripped him off, what he shortchanged him for. How? In form of hasanat. You owe him 5 grams of rice, that becomes hasanat. He doesn't have hasanat left, then you start giving him from your sayyat. This is how it's paid back. So there's the connection already between these two surah. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the previous surah, and this is very important to understand, He said, الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. It is Allah, He created you and evened you out, and He gave you a sense of balance. Now, you know the person who cheats others in business? When it comes to receiving, when he's the customer, they want in full. They want what they deserve in full. And they don't want to be cheated upon. So they understand the sense of balance. They know that in life there's balance. But when he's the customer, he wants his right in full. And they wouldn't want one of their family members to be cheated in business and get less than they deserve. But when it comes to their own customers, they give a little less than his customer deserves. So deep inside of these people, this mutaffif, deep inside, they have this sense of balance. They understand this balance. Surah Al-Infitar explained this balance. The surah, Surah Al-Infitar explained that we gave you balance. خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. He balanced you, He evened you out. Now this surah is describing, firstly, it is possible to go against this balance, and it's telling us about people that went against this balance. That's the connection. So this surah begins with the word وَيْلٌ. And وَيْل, it can carry two meanings. The first is that it could be understood as a curse. You curse somebody. You know, probably this is very common in Lebanese tradition and so on. Ya waylak. This comes out. This word, you've probably heard it. What does that mean? That's a curse upon someone. It's like you're saying, may destruction fall upon you. You know, may worry and harm and sickness befall upon you. That's really what ya waylak means. Now it's given no meaning. But before, it was serious. You said this, meaning the other one that was listening, like really got offended. But now it's just said, it's really lost its meaning. But this word is a curse. That's the first meaning to it. The second thing is that wail is a word that's used for someone who has been totally ruined. He's destroyed, he's finished. That's it, he's got no more hope. So he will say, Ya wailana. You know, and Allah captures this in the Quran. About people who say, Ya waylana inna kunna zalimeen, and so on. What does that mean? Destruction has fallen upon us. So wail, two meanings. The first is that it's a curse. It's like Allah is cursing these people. The second thing is that it's just actually describing the state of this person. He's totally ruined. This mutaffif, he's destroyed himself. Waylun lil mutaffifin. Another thing to notice is that normally in Arabic, when you begin speech or when you begin a sentence, you don't begin with an indefinite article, meaning you begin with an alif lam, right? You say, Al-waylu lil-mutaffifin. That's what we were expecting. Al-waylu lil-mutaffifin. The destruction is for the mutaffifin. And similarly, you say, you don't say, Walad ya'kul at-tuffah. Al-waladu. The kid eats the apple. You know, so you have the alif lam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say al. He says, or automatically he begins, he says waylun. Now when he says waylun, the alif lam has been omitted, and there's been two dhamma on the lam. Waylun, lun. There's two dhamma on the lam. The tanween lit-ta'zim. Right? This is a principle. This is a grammar rule. When there's tanween on a word, then actually it's magnifying this word. So now to translate waylun lil-mutaffifin will give you the ultimate destruction is for those that engage in tatfif. The ultimate destruction. The horrible destruction. The biggest destruction is coming to these people. Just by emitting the alif lam, it gave this intense meaning. Now we said tatfif is two things. You take more than you should, and you give less than you should. In the next ayah, which is الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ, pay a lot of attention here, so you can understand all this together. In the next two ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to explain what a mutaffif really is. The question is, this is the question now. Why is he going to explain what a mutaffif is? But the word al-mutaffifin already gave us what mutaffif is. Why do you have to explain it now? The word in itself carried a meaning. These two ayat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks these two ayat, they're actually explaining to us the attitude of al-mutaffif. The meaning and plus the attitude. How does this mutaffif now, what kind of attitude does he carry when he sells something and when he buys something? Right? And this is exactly where you should be seeing where the problem is in your life. You know, when we explain it. But before we explain this attitude, I want to share with you a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an authentic hadith that found in Sahih al-Bukhari in the chapter of punishments. He explains in this hadith the effects of tatfif on a society and on a community. What are the effects? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَلَا طَفَّفُوا الْمِكْيَالَ إِلَّا مُنِعُ النَّبَاتِ وَأُخِذُوا بِالسِّنِينَ. This is a very scary hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and they did not cheat a little in business, just a little, things that are unnoticed, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He punishes them with two things. The whole society, the whole community, the whole country. Crops stop growing. Muni'un nabat. There's no more produce. You put the seed, there's nothing coming out. Maybe the plant comes out, but there's no cucumbers on it. That's one thing. The second, وَأُخِذُوا بِالسِّنِينَ. And they were seized by means of drought. Drought becomes spread in the country. And they call this an attack of Mother Nature. No, there's no Mother Nature. This is a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a nation that does tatfif. So this little cheat in business, it stops rain, it stops produce, and it brings out the drought. And one wonders, you know, one of us might wonder, what does the stock market and the shares dropping got to do with the farm? They're connected. You do cheating here, there's tatfif here, then the other one's affected. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now explains the mutaffif's attitude. Let's share this with you. This is really incredible. The way, even it's a miracle in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sort of languages this together. It's amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. He's speaking about the mutaffif when he's a customer. He's saying, these people, they cheat in business. When they are receiving weight from people, but when they're customers, they're going to get the full amount they can. Yastawfoon. This yastawfoon means the full amount. That's what they're going to do. But how are they going to do it? One word in this ayah tells us how. Iktala, and alladhina idha iktalu. Iktalu comes from the word iktala. And iktala literally means to receive the product, to receive the weight from someone. But in Arabic, listen to this carefully, you say iktala min. You don't say iktala ala. So we were expecting alladhina idha iktalu min an-nas. That's what we were expecting. But Allah said otherwise. He said alladhina idha iktalu ala. Iktala min will translate like this. When they receive from a person. Now Allah said iktalu ala. What does this translate to being? When they receive weight against a person. Against a person. We'll explain exactly what that is. So this ala that comes in this ayah is actually telling us in brackets how this mutaffif receives. His attitude. Now, in normal circumstances, customer, you walk into the shop, you get what you want to get, you weigh whatever you're weighing, it's full, whatever it is, it's a little bit more, there's no problem. You pay for it, and you take your stuff and you walk out. That's a normal transaction. The ayah, it's abnormal. It's ala instead of min. So because it's not normal, it already suggests that this mutaffif is engaging in an abnormal transaction. Just like the ayah sounds abnormal to what's known in Arabic, right? Allah is teaching us something here. Now, iktala ala nas. This ala, it gives the meaning of tasallut, bullying. You know, ala comes from the word Ali, high. When something is high, something that's got authority, something that's bullying. So Allah is telling us the attitude of these people that are known as mutaffifin. They walk in and they say to the guy, I want more. You didn't give me the weight correctly. Put some more. You know, and they get more. They get more than they deserve. That's the mutaffif. But you see the attitude? Now it's a difference. You walk in and the guy puts your rice 1 kilo and he adds 20 grams. No, I will take it. You didn't ask for it, he gave it to you. That's not mutaffif. The mutaffif stands there. He looks at the needle, how it's going, or the digital meter now. And sort of he wants, put some more. You minus, you add. This is the attitude that the mutaffif has. Now I give you a relative example. Something I've seen, wallahi, in my eyes. You know the Subway restaurant? People walk in, he's ordering his sandwich. I don't know, there's probably in Subway there's a standard of how many tomatoes go on the sandwich. Add one more. What do you mean add one more? There's already a standard here. You know, and he wants it for free. And they have on the system, you want extra, you pay for it. This is a mutaffif. You know, just recently, a kebab shop I was in, he gets him his fries and he's putting sauce. Don't be shy. Press it. Don't be shy. This is mutaffif. Do you see the attitude? He wants to get more than what he deserves. And this exactly, if this is you, then you've got to be careful. This is the mutaffif. It's also true in circumstances like, I give you another relevant example. You buy a product, something that's faulty, right? It doesn't work. You can go back to the store and return it. But you decide, you know what? I'm going to call the customer service line. And then I'm going to say I'm not satisfied unless you give me this and you give me this and you give me that and give me this free. Then I'll be satisfied. You know, you were right at the beginning. They gave you something faulty. But you know now you're taking more than you deserve. You know that. What you deserve is go back and get something. If they give you something for free, then take it, go. But don't instruct, don't put the command. Don't be like a bully in there. Have this attitude. Once you have this, there's issues. Once you have this, then وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. It's a really serious matter. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ, He says, يَسْتَوْفُونَ. Something really important to share here. يَسْتَوْفُونَ is a verb, as opposed to it being a noun, which would have said, يُتَوَفَّونَ. Right? الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يُتَوَفَّونَ. You could have said this, and that would have been in the noun form. Now, let me share the difference between, why does Allah give you a verb here? He concludes it with a verb. He doesn't conclude it with a noun. You see, the noun, when it comes, it suggests something that's permanent. When a verb comes, it suggests something that's temporary. What is Allah teaching us? He's teaching us that this mutaffif is not always successful because he didn't use the noun. Had he used the noun, it would have meant that min mutaffif, he always gets more than he deserves. But because he used the verb, then it gave us the meaning that he tries to get the full as much as possible. He tries to get, I want more, I want more, I want more. You know, rude people. Not necessarily that they always get more than they deserve, but at least he tries. See, this is something else that's dangerous. You know, someone might warn you and you might say, no, I don't do this always. Well, this is what the ayah is saying. That the mutaffif doesn't always do this and doesn't always succeed. Sometimes he asks for more, sometimes he gets, sometimes he doesn't. But it's an attitude instilled in him. That's the main thing we've got to learn. Now let's move on to the third ayah that's going to describe us, to us, when this mutaffif is a seller, when he's the merchant, what happens now? It is really incredible. Allah says, وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. And when they have to weigh for others, when they're selling a product to others, when they're measuring a product for others, they make sure that this person leaves in a loss. Has to leave with some sort of loss. I want to make sure I give him less than he deserves, even if it's by 1%. Just, he walks out, he's a loser. This is the attitude. Now, let's see how it's done. How the attitude is done. Now again, this ayah, to the Arabic principles, the grammar, it is also abnormal. Right? Because it's abnormal, it's going to suggest an attitude. In Arabic, you don't say إِذَا كَالُوهُمْ. You say إِذَا كَالُوا لَهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوا لَهُمْ. You add the lam. This is what you do. I'm going to give you the difference in translation between the two. You say كَالُوا لَهُمْ. This lam, it suggests favor. So if Allah said وَإِذَا كَالُوا لَهُمْ, it would have meant when they weigh for them, when they measure for them. And this word lam, this for them, it sort of suggests that the seller is concerned for his customer. So he weighs for him. He's concerned for him. But a mutaffif is someone that's cursed. So he is not someone that's doing normal transaction. He's doing abnormal transaction. So the ayah came abnormal to suggest he's doing something abnormal. SubhanAllah, this is the nuance. The small miracles that go by in the language that you won't get in the translation. And this is why we say learn the Arabic, because the Arabic will teach you the miracle itself. But the translation maybe gives you something from the message, but it's not going to translate the miracle for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Even something incredible. You see, what did we say that's supposed to be here? Alam, right? Alam. So alam is an extra letter. Allah omitted this lam. It also suggests when they sell the product, they omit something from it. You know? Even the product itself is not full. Something is removed. That's suggested by the omission of the lamb. Now, let's look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. And what does that mean? Allah said, وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ. You know what that means? That means when they weigh them. Literally, get him and put him on a scale. That's what كَالُوهُمْ means. وَزَنُوهُمْ, they measured them. Not four, because the four is with the lamb. You emit the lamb, you give the meaning when I weigh you, or when I measure you. Now, what? This is incredible. This is, look what it's suggesting. This means that they upsize, they size their customers up. Meaning they don't treat two customers the same. They sell you a product depending on your skin color, whether you're a male or female, on your size, what shirt you're wearing, where you live. They weigh him. What is he all about? All right, let's increase the price for him. He doesn't look all that. Let's decrease the price for him. Give you a very relative example now that lives. You go to Coles in Bondi, for example. A kilo of tomatoes isn't the same price as a kilo of tomatoes in Coles Greenacre. It's not. It's different. People there have more money. That's Kaluhum. They weigh them, they size them. These people live here, they're doing all right. So let's increase the price. And there's a whole study and a whole research in this. Just by people that walk in, people walking out, what you buy, what you don't buy, how we're going to price here, how we're going to price there. Subhanallah, this is tatfif in itself. A product that costs $2, why is it costing him $5? And why is it costing you $2? That's mutafifi. That's when they're the seller. You see the attitude? When you emit the lamb, that's what it gives us of meaning. They don't care about the product. They care about you. Who are you? Right? You're up there, it's going to cost you more. You're down there, it's going to cost you obviously less. And يعني, subhanAllah, a whole market in this. And this is what happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses and He gives a severe warning. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. So they literally weigh their customers and they cheat them accordingly. Now, we said tatfif is not only limited to transaction, to business. We said this extends also to relationships. Let me share with you three. Tatfif can happen when it comes to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can happen when we're speaking about the relationship with your spouse and your children. It can happen when we're speaking about your relationship at work with your customers. How is this true? You want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything. You're making dua, where is it? You know, I didn't get nothing. Or you're sick, Ya Allah, cure me. Ya Allah, give me this, give me that, give me this. I want that. But when it comes to Allah's rights, what happens? You rip off. You shortchange. Right? Now, there's a difference of people that try their best, and the difference of people, this is someone I know. He doesn't pray. But he had an exam recently, you know. So he said, I prayed. The first time I prayed, 10 minutes. First time I make dua. I said, Ya Allah, make me pass. He said, I failed. I don't pray anymore. He failed. Allah didn't give him what he wanted. So he said, what's all this about? You know, this is tatfif with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you expecting? You expect results 100%. You expect good. When it comes to Allah's rights, you don't even try. You don't even want to give him anything. You only want to pray for that. Of course it's not going to happen. What do you think, yani, the dua? What do you think the dua is? It's an order, you know. You purchase on Amazon and it comes to you, you know, package and it comes express delivery. That's what dua is. That's what people have made dua. You know, subhanAllah, it's gone more to this, and inshallah, I've dedicated a whole lesson for it. Inshallah, we'll share later on. The other thing we said is that tatfif can happen with the relationship with your spouse, right? Whether it's a husband or the wife, and with the children. How is this real? You want from your wife all the rights, everything. You want from your children obedience, respect, and everything. But when it comes to giving them their rights, well, there's nothing. You know? Or it's shortchanged. There is something. Sorry, don't understand, there's nothing. There is something. But it's shortchanged. It's so insignificant. You just pass it by and inshallah, it's nothing. You know? She won't be upset for that. No, don't worry, that's all right. It's this very thing that makes you a mutaffif. So you want to expect full rights. When it comes to your turn, you give your full rights. Otherwise, don't complain. And we'll explain the solution to this. Let me just share with you this one more, which is the work. Right? Tatfif can happen in the work. So your boss, he shortchanged you. He's supposed to give you every Thursday a check of $1,000. He gave you this time $998. It's $2 missing. What are you going to do? You're going to make complaint about it? Did you forget that 1 minute you took extra in the toilet? Or that 2 minutes extra in your lunch break? That's you did tatfif. Now you want him to give you in full, and you don't want to give him full. Once that attitude infests you, then there becomes an issue. That's tatfif. What is the solution? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, رحم الله امرئا سمحا إذا باع سمحا إذا اشترى. The incredible ayah, incredible hadith. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, may Allah have mercy on a man who adopts an attitude of forgiving when it comes to sale and when it comes to buying or selling. Adopt this attitude of forgiving. سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ سَمْحًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى. The boss hands him a check of $950. Oh, no, that's all right anyway. I took 2-3 minutes out from that and that. No worries, I forgive him. You know? Walk around. Go. Oh, your wife didn't fulfill some of the rights. خلاص, forgive. Because I didn't give my rights in full. سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ سَمْحًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى. Move along. You know? You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me this, give me that. Well, I've done ma'asi. I've committed sins against Allah. Perhaps that's what's stopped this dua from being accepted. May Allah forgive me. You know, and move on. With this attitude, you're saved. Other than that, you're in serious problem. Always when you're shortchanged, when someone rips you off, that's his issue. That's his. He's the mutaffif. Don't worry about it. You think of your side. Give yourself an excuse that you haven't fulfilled rights to the very best, and so move along and samhan. Have this word in your mind, samhan idha ba', samhan idha ishtara. Then and only you'll be saved from this ultimate destruction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah. So now there's a question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the question comes up, and that is, why do people actually do this? Why do they commit this crime of tatfif? What is the root cause of this problem? SubhanAllah is beautifully answered. It comes now in this ayah. Allah tells us the root problem in this ayah that comes straight after. He says, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Have those people that do this. You see, Allah said, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ. Don't these people, don't those people, right? There's a difference, these and those. You know, in Arabic we call them ismul ishara, pointers. When something is close, you say ha'ula. If a group of people are close, then this group is here, I say ha'ula. These people. That group there is far from me, so if I was to point to it in classical Arabic, I'd say ula'ika, those people. They're far away. While these people are close, they get these, those. Allah, what does He say? He says, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ. Which one did He use? The close or the far? The far. Allah is distancing Himself away from these people because of the crime they committed. He doesn't even come near them. He doesn't even say ha'ula. He points far away to them because of the horrible crime and the horrible sin they're committing. So he says, ala yadhunnu ulaik, those people there that are far away from me. You know, this is not Allah's deen. It doesn't teach this. This is far from Allah's deen. So this word ulaik already gives us how incredibly intense this situation is. And this crime is. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُثُونَ. Allah is saying, those people, hasn't it ever crossed their imagination? يَظُنُّ, this assumption, hasn't it ever crossed their imagination that they will be resurrected? مَبْعُثُونَ, hasn't it? Now this is going to answer the question of where did they get this attitude from? Why do they shortchange people? Why do they ask for more than they deserve? What is the cause? What is the root problem? Here. The root problem is that these people do not believe in the resurrection. Or they're not certain and convinced about the resurrection. You might believe, but you're not convinced about it. You might say there is a Dajjal. There is, yeah. I heard about it. But they're not convinced about it. You know why this, and how are these two things connected? Look how they're connected. You see, the first time this person commits this sin of tatfif, he's uncomfortable. Really, really uncomfortable. First time you do it. The second time you do it, you're sort of less uncomfortable. Gradually, the more you do tatfif, the more you practice this in your life, and the more it goes unnoticed and people don't notice it and it's gone, and you've seen success from it, and you've seen business and money racking up, piling. You know what happens? You develop this attitude of, I've escaped from the law. I've done things that are against human law and human decency. I haven't been caught. So many years I've been doing this. No one caught me. No one is going to hold me accountable in this world. Prove it. Where's your proof? You know? That's how this thing develops. And they even teach it to others. But guess what? I did this and this and try it in your business and you'll become successful. The crime, this evil, it spreads from one to the other. They take pride in doing this, thinking that they will always be above the system and they'll always beat the law. They don't even feel guilty about it because they don't even believe that they will be taken to account for their evil. What kind of law? Who's going to come sue me? What's this 5 grand? You know, the judge might laugh at it. Look at the connection. What made them commit tatfif is that they did not believe in the hereafter. How did they develop this attitude? Through tatfif. Because tatfif eventually towards the end of tatfif, when you're an expert in tatfif, and you've ran away from every single law and court and system, and you've cheated everything, how are you now possibly going to think that there's Allah that's going to judge me? It doesn't develop in the mind. That becomes X'd in the mind. There's none of this anymore. If no one caught me here, if no one recorded nothing onto me here, then the day of judgment also it's going to go noticed and no one's going to know, no, there's nothing. And this is why the very same surah before, what did it say? كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That these noble angels that sit on the left and the right, they record. Even that insignificant amount, it's recorded. And on that day, يوم الدين, come in. Tatfif, payback. And this is what happens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the root of this evil. Had these people really, really were convinced that there is a day of judgment, there's a day of accounting, how would you do this? No way you'll do this. Allah is going to hold you accountable for this tatfif, you'll not do it. But because they don't believe in the hereafter, they do not believe in accountability, they will now commit this sin of tatfif. No one's held them accountable here. For sure no one will hold them accountable anywhere else. This is where the idea develops from. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Resurrected. What are they resurrected to? He says, لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. This is why they're resurrected, so they can face a يَوْمْ عَظِيمٍ, a tough, great day. Let me share something with you in the word عظيم. The word عظيم comes from the Arabic word عظم. What does عظم mean? Bone. عظم is a bone. You know, the bone is called a bone because it's tough, it's strong, it's difficult to break. The animal, it's got bone, horns. They consider the horns as being a bone. If the animal was to hit you with its horns, with its bones, it'll injure you. If someone wants to punch you with his knuckles, where the bones are, it'll injure you, it'll hurt you. So when Allah says, لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, it's suggesting that when they get in contact with the Day of Judgment, it is going to hurt them. You know, it's a tough day. They're going to feel the pain of that day. You know, just like when bone comes into contact with your bone, it hurts you. That day when it comes in contact with them, it is going to have pain, and it's going to cause them a lot of pain, and it is going to be a tough, great day. So, لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, you can basically say, a painful, tough day. I mean, that's the better understanding, as opposed to saying, for a great day. For a great day, a great day, what's a great day? Is it a celebration day or a bad day? So really great doesn't give that full meaning. Then we'll conclude inshaAllah ta'ala this passage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He describes now this Yawm Azim. He describes this tough day. He says, Yawma, the day of Azim, يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is on that day when mankind will stand before the Lord of the worlds. Incredible. Because this is coming as a reminder for those that do tatfif. For those that do tatfif, Allah is saying for them, يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The seller and the buyer are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand that this way. You know, understand it in context. يَقُومُ النَّاسُ, the seller and the buyer. Both of them are going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge equally. You rip someone off, now you give him, as we said, from the hasanat. You don't have any hasanat, you pass on from your sayyat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us students of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.